welcome you to another Ray of Truth broadcast. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avinay Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast a blessing to you. We're opening the musical part of our service with the selection, The Church's Jubilee. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege we have of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. Wherever our broadcast is reaching, we are praying the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each and to every heart. As you look down upon our congregation today, you see each one. You know their needs, whether it be physical or spiritual. And we know that you love each one, and we're asking you to minister to them according to their needs. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue now with the selection, The Blood-Bought Church.
Since I came all to Jesus, to his kingdom I belong. I'm a member of his blood-bought.
Our subject for today's broadcast, the measure of a strong church. And our text of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. The practice of assembling with the saints of God is very important. We read in the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Of course, it takes more than assembling together. It takes more than a lovely building, the number of classes we have, and so forth, being well organized. What then is the measure of a strong church? It functions like a body. The church is the body of Christ. Now, we are the body of Christ and members in particular. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. As such, it is an organism rather than an organization. You can have an organization, but still not have spiritual life, and certainly not be a strong Church of God congregation. The body of Christ has many members, but not all have the same function. Although it is a body and is organism, it has many members, but they are not functioning in the same capacity or in the same place. Now, has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him? So we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. Now, not all are eyes, not all are hands, not all are feet. No, in the literal body, there are many parts, and the same thing is true in the spiritual body. There are many members, I say, but they do not have the same function. You don't find all of them being preachers. You don't find all of them being teachers. You find one filling one place and some another. And they cooperate and work together in unity because they are an organism and not necessarily an organization. Every member must appreciate the function of others. There's no place in the body of Christ for jealousy or revelry. We're all on the same side, as it were, in the same body, working for the same cause. So I say every member must appreciate the function of every other member. Now, are there many members, yet but one body? So we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and 20. Growth occurs when every part does its share. Let me repeat that. Growth occurs when every part does its share. No chain is stronger than its weakest link. How many times have you heard that? And it is true, spiritually speaking, as well as literally. A strong congregation is also one which loves like a true family. Now, I realize that in the world today, there are literal families that do not get along with one another, but a proper family, a godly family, will be able to get along with one another. So the congregation of God is a congregation that is to love one another just like a proper family loves one another, because we are a family. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. So we read in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. So we read in 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. So you see here the Apostle Paul reuses the family terms to make his point in the needing of taking care of one another, respecting one another, honoring one another. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Again, that's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Love is the thing that really binds two true people of God together. Yes, if we love one another, we will care for one another, we'll be interested in one another, we'll pray for one another, and we will desire their good and their welfare. We'll not be running them down, we'll not be criticizing them, we'll not be finding fault. No, we are to love one another without feign or pretense, in other words, and we must be real and genuine in our love for one another. And if we really love the truth, we shouldn't find it hard to love our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. A strong family is one where there is concern for one another, love for one another. Now, the church at Thessalonica was a good example of what I am talking about. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in all of Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Paul was recognizing the love that the saints there at Thessalonica had for one another and for other saints in the area as well. But he tells them, even as much as you love one another, you still have some room for growth, that you increase more and more. And I'm sure all of us can say that we can grow in our love for one another, or we can grow in the things of God. In fact, we are taught in the Scriptures that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, another thought I want to bring in regard to a strong church, that is, temples of old were built to glorify one to which they were dedicated. The true church of God in our day is God's temple, and has been since Jesus started it back there in his time. The church has been and still is growing. People talk about the church being built in AD 33. The Lord is still building his church. Every time a precious soul is saved, he's adding to the church. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. And so the true church of God is God's temple today. These millennialists that are talking about the Jews building a temple in Jerusalem, and they want to build it there where the Golden Dome is, which is one of the most sacred spots to the Muslims, about the third most sacred spot. But beloved, God will never again dwell in a literal temple as far as bricks and mortar and lumber and so on and so forth. His temple today is the body of Christ. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, which temple you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Also, we find that God has a temple, and he dwells in that temple, and the temple of God is to be workers together, one with another. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with praise or thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 100, verses 2 and 4. So we're not just to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, but the Holy Spirit is to use us. And one way that we are to be used is to worship the Lord. Again, that's what they built those temples for. Back there, Solomon's temple, Herod's temple, or at least the one he remodeled and all. Those temples were built for worship. And God's temple today, although we are his temple today, we are to also worship. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The Bible, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And whenever we come together as a congregation, we need to come with the intention of worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord. Oh yes, there's preaching, there's prayers, there's testimonies, but there also should be praise. We shouldn't sit there like a knot on a log, pardon me, but we should have a voice that is used in praise and honor and worship to the true and the living God, and be a temple indeed. And a kingdom suggests a king, to which subjects submit allegiance. And so the church, the body of Christ, is a kingdom indeed. Today, the Queen of England is only a figurehead, but it is not that way in the kingdom of God. Christ is a king who rules with all authority. The Bible teaches that Christ is the head of the church, and the government is on his shoulders, and he is the king of the kingdom of God, and he is a ruler. I thank God for the privilege of having Christ as my ruler, as my head. He is a loving Savior. He's a loving one who cares. In fact, he loved the church so much that he gave himself for it. So the kingdom of God is ruled over by Christ. And we who are saved and temples, we are the kingdom of God, the church of the living God. And a strong church is one in which the citizens, that is the members, submit to Christ as king in reality. In fact, you cannot be a subject in this kingdom if you refuse to submit to the head, who is Jesus Christ. To be a strong church, it must be a pure church. I realize that there are people today who fight holiness, but the Bible teaches it, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men, and holiness of which no man, without which no man shall see the Lord. So a strong church is one that is pure. Paul told the church at Corinth, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." That's 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2. So the church is to be as pure as a virgin. In other words, a holy church, a pure church. And we are to live that life day by day, not just on one day of the week. Christ offered himself to enable us, or the church, to be holy. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25, 26, and 27. John was given a vision of the bride of Christ in Revelation 12 and verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and that represents the New Testament or the New Covenant, and the moon, that is the Old Covenant, under her feet, and upon her head a crown, and that represents rule and reign and authority, a sign of reigning of 12 stars. And those 12 stars represented the 12 apostles, and the 12 apostles represents all of God's true ministers. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 4 and 5, the saints are declared to be virgins, in other words, pure. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are virgins. There are no sinners in God's church. All her members are redeemed. You couldn't be a member of God's church if you have not been redeemed. Such is the measure of a strong church. Number one, functions like a body. Number two, loves like a family. Number three, praises like a temple. Four, worships in spirit and in truth. Five, submits like subjects in the kingdom. And number six, pure as a holy virgin bride. How each person does his or her part will have an effect on the measure of this church. And God would have us to be a strong church. Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If our service is a blessing, it would be an encouragement to us to know our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to be with us in our services as they are broadcast live over the internet, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
In a world filled with pleasure, we're tempted and tried. The more that we have here on this earth, the less we're satisfied. The only thing that's lasting comes from on high. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll stand for Jesus. Jesus and letting the world go by. I'll stand for Jesus, let the world go by. I'll claim his promise, he will supply. We'll walk together, the Lord and I. Jesus.